Some of the sound is being blind to people. It's been a good to Yishu, Mamash. I couldn't have planned it better than God did. Okay, so these spies go along and they come along and they say, wow, everybody's dying here. It's a country where there's plague, I don't know, there's coronavirus, I don't know what's going on here. But everybody's dying. What's going on here? It's a terrible place. We thought Eretz Yisrael was gonna be great and fantastic. It's all busy dying here. It's terrible. Wow, the air, I don't know what it is, but they're all dying. So wait a minute. Let's take a back seat a minute. What's going on here? Lahavdil, I mean not Lahavdil, I don't know what to say really, but in Auschwitz, the beginning. Yeah, people reacted perhaps to death, but unfortunately, the human nature is you get used to death. You get used to it, and if it's all around you, you just, never, but you take it for granted, and you don't react. So how comes there's a whole country who don't notice? I don't know exactly what these Meraglim wore, where they wore, you know, a long rekel and Homburger hat, I'm not sure, or Kovatembel, I don't know what exactly they wore, but they certainly had long noses, you know, Jewish nose, and recognizes that Yeshua sent two spies into Eretz Yisrael, and they were immediately, the KGB there in Yericho, got them. How come? You won't even notice. Interesting, everybody's busy with burials and hespedim and they're just Eretz Ochelet Yisrael. Why did they see, instead of the kindness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought them to a bad land? Why did they see the opposite? They came along and they said, wow, it's a land of giants. Okay. Did we manage to cross the Red Sea? We did manage to cross the Red Sea. Was it difficult? No, actually, we just walked across, it was very easy. And the whole Egyptian army behind us, whoosh. So why can't we manage these giants? But that's not so bad. What's worse is, Rav Shimshon Fahish points out, why has it got giants here? Why has it got such huge fruit? Because there was no mubble in Eretz Yisrael. The mubble went all over the world, but not in Eretz Yisrael. And the land and air and geography and all geology and everything in Eretz Yisrael remained pre-mubble days and had all that high quality stuff and could grow. You could really grow. Now, it could be if your life is physicality, you'll grow physically. But if your life is spiritual and you come here to grow spiritually, well, that's perfect land to grow. This is a land of growth. So why don't they see the good? See the bad. What is it? Why is it? Instead of seeing all the good, they see the bad. They bring fruits. Instead of seeing the good, they see the bad. What is this? So interesting. Sam Sofer was really under a deluge, under attack from a certain yid. And he said to his Talmidim the following sentence. The sentence was, I don't remember doing him an act of kindness that he should be so horrible to me. So with this Talmidim asked, wait, Rebbe, if you did him an act of kindness, then he should be nice to you. What's going on here? So there is a very, very deep psychology here. Friedland talks about it. They all talk about it. But what happens here? When a human being is born with a Heilige Neshama, Heilige Neshama, which is a noisei, he wants to give. I don't know what it's like so much here yet, I haven't experienced. In England, wow, the dog. Wow, in England, the dog, wow. What is that about? The dog, that's so important. It's the opportunity to give without too much, it's without too many obligations. So, but the need to give is deep in the neshama. Therefore, when you receive, oh, there's busha, there is an act. It produces a feeling of contradiction within a person. Wait a minute, I'm here to give, and here I'm taking. Wow, help. What am I going to do with this feeling of busha, this shame that I'm feeling? What am I going to do with it? Now you're presented with two possibilities. One is called Hakoras Hatoiv. Hakoras Hatoiv means, I so appreciate what you did. I'm going to try and give you back something. I'm going to thank you very much. I'm going to feel obliged to you. And I feel obligated to you. And that brings us closer. That actually brings us closer and creates harmony. It's beautiful. Or there's an opposite reaction. What happens? I feel busha. I feel shame. I received for nothing. I can't bear it. Kofu olo esato. You take the good and you put a keli on top of it. You'll see bad where there was good. I've got to look for bad, either in you or in the thing that I received. I've got to see bad. Otherwise, I've got this horrible feeling of busha, this horrible feeling of being obligated, I can't bear it. So I've got a very, very important choice. Therefore, when we find there's a medrash, Moshe Rabbeinu saved a Jew's life, the husband of Shlomis Bas Divri, he saved his life. And actually he got chucked out of Egypt because of it. He suffered for the next 60 years or so because he'd helped a Jew and saved him from this Egyptian. From the Egyptian who was trying to kill the Yid. Who was this Jew? Who was the Jew? The Medrash says his name was Dosson. You know Bilam Ben? Dosson Navirom. Like the Bilam Ben of Nebuch, of Moshe Rabbeinu. All the way through, his worst arch foes was Dosson. His arch foes. How comes Dosson was such an arch foe of Moshe Rabbeinu, after all, Moshe Rabbeinu saved his life? Yeah, but Dosson reached a point of busha, and he felt either I am totally obligated to Moshe Rabbeinu, or I've got to see bad in him, in what he did, and I've got to see bad. And oh boy, he saw bad. So this creates a choice within a person that he can either appreciate, bring himself closer to the other person, form a beautiful relationship, or the exact opposite. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu does us toivas, we are in the same quandary. Deep down inside, I feel a busha. I'm receiving. The sun's shining, and I'm breathing, and I'm walking. You know, I was in Shari today, and they didn't realize it was a patient, so they asked me to speak. So I said, you know, Shari Tzedek is a base Musa. It's a house of Musa. I just want to teach you all Musa. And you ought to appreciate this and appreciate that and appreciate your kidneys and appreciate every little part of your body. Appreciate. Oh, yeah. If I appreciate it, that's wow, that brings me closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If I do the opposite, wow, I've got to deny the good and deny it and deny it. So the pshat is that Dosson had to deny Moshe Rabbeinu's good. The Shvatim, when they went in to spy out the land, wow, wow, wow. Shvatim is doing such a toiva here. He's making all the people die so they shouldn't see that there's two buttons at the back and a hamburger hat and I don't know what else, but they shouldn't notice us. 12 spies. No, I've got to see bad. And they see Eretz Oicheles Yishmeh, the giants. So what a wonderful country this is. This is the place to build the future of Torah and agriculture in. And all the good things, they had to see bad. Otherwise, they are obligated to the Ribbono Shel Olam. So the Pasuk says, Meshiv Ro Tachas Toiv. It's Pasuk in Mishlei. If you give bad instead of good, What does it mean, you're bad instead of good? Why instead of good? Yeah. People do you favors and you return it with bad. Why? I can't bear being obligated to you. I can't bear obligated to God. I can't bear it. So then, things are going to go bad in your house because I cut off with your unappreciated person. Not doing you, Titus. Not doing Titus to unappreciated people. So, what happened was, there's a real, real low point of these spies. And they came, they said, wow, and he be'einenu k'chagovim. We were like grasshoppers. So were we in the eyes of these giants and these people and these powerful nations. We viewed ourselves as grasshoppers, and they viewed us as grasshoppers. So the Alkut says, wait a minute. How do you know you were viewed as grasshoppers? Perhaps you were viewed as malochim. Perhaps you were viewed as malochim. Says the Chofetz Chaim, of the lack of emunah. Lack of emunah. What's emunah got to impress Jesus? What's it got to do with it? So I want to tell you about ourselves. About ourselves. Actually, each one of us has received phenomenal abilities, capabilities, mental, personality, physical capabilities. Phenomenal. Wow. Actually, I could walk around with quite a lot of confidence because, well, it's not gaiva. It's not gaiva because what's the issur of gaiva? Don't forget that it comes from God. But appreciate. You have to be makir toiv, says the Baal. Toiv sabobas in of Shar Hachnoi. It says, you have to be confident. Wait a minute, well, I'm special. Yes, God may be special, but I am special. Not only am I special, I'm unique. In fact, since my inspirations, Adayomazer, nobody's been born like me. Or you, not anybody. We're unique and special. So God's given me all these capabilities. I'm obliged to God. I owe him one. As a choice, do I show appreciation or do I deny that it was good? So we have a situation where so many people suffer from a lack of self-confidence. They can be so confident. They're confident in the fact that God made me unique, made me special, made me absolutely essential for the Jewish nation. Eternal. I have an eternal message for Ali. Yeah, but that also means that I have to appreciate what God's done for me. That's a problem. Their self-image was such a lack of emunah. It was a lack of appreciation. Look how choshev you are. So don't view yourself as chagovim, as grasshoppers. View yourself as malachim. You're special. You're unique. You're a yid. Then there was a guy, and he came out to him, and so he told somebody how what happened, an event. He says, yeah, actually, I was in the Israeli army, and after the Israeli army, there's a duty to see the world. So I didn't want to go to India. Went to Africa, landed at a third nation. I don't know what sort of airport it was, but I landed at the airport, got a jeep, off I went. And there was this little boy standing there, you know, for sweets, you know, begging for sweets. So I stopped the car and I looked down for my chocolate. And as I looked up, there were 30 spears pointing at me. It was a ruse. It was a ruse to stop my car. And these 30 huge, what do you call them, black people?
Africans. I'm an African.
Yeah, it's different. Yeah, and these pointing at me. And And so the lead is just,
where you come from.
So he didn't know what to say, but so he just sprouted the truth and said, Israel,
you chosen people.
And then all his chevra, his other 29, go,
you chosen people. And then they all chant three times, you chosen people, you chosen people.
And they said, bye.
And he switched on the heater of his car, although it was boiling hot outside, but he was drained and freezing cold from fear of his life.
And he went straight back to the airport,
went back to Eretz Yisrael, joined a yeshiva. He wants to know, what does it mean he's chosen? I didn't know I was chosen.
Picked us out.
We are the chosen nation. We are special, and each one of us is unique within that whole picture. At Har Sinai, he says there was unity, not uniformity. Everybody's different. Everyone was special. Everybody's unique. There was unity. Why? Each one appreciated the other's speciality. He's special. Yaakov Avinu called all his children together, tell each one their speciality.
Why did he call them together? Why did he call each one of them?
He wanted each one to realize, yeah, he's special and you're special. He's special and you're special. And he's special and you're special. Appreciate each other's special. But you're all special.
There was a guy who went to a summer camp in America. America's summer camps, very important. So this guy, Richard, he comes to the summer camp and he joins this camp, but he's having treatment for cancer. And he found it hard to concentrate. So Ramosha Kaviat was sitting there under the tree and he was like the role model of the camp. And he asked him, can you learn with me? I said, yeah, he agreed to learn with him. And then one day, sees this guy, Richard, arms down on the table, weeping away. Not loudly, but weeping away, crying away. So he said, Richard, what's the matter? What's happened? So, well, look, I see all these guys. They're progressing. They're all Talmidei Chachomim. They're doing so marvelously. What am I achieving here? What am I doing? I find Eretz Yisrael is wonderful. There is a bit of a danger here because there's Kanayin Horror. There's so many Avreichim. You can think to yourself, help, who am I? No, Gates said, no, there's at least a lot of Jordis. He said, well, I'm better than them. No Jordis here. There's a few Arabs. I haven't seen that many, but a few Arabs. Yeah, I'm better than them. Right. Okay, but there are, you know, it's not full of Jordis. And it's not hard to say you're better than the Jordis. So I got upon him. So you can feel, who am I? So Ramosha Kvyat says, you know, I heard something last night, which is just for you. There's a journalist was following a famous conductor. He was following him around and writing about his life and. So he says, tonight, this conductor says, Toscanini, this conductor says, I'm off duty tonight, can't speak to you tonight, because tonight the BBC, hailing BBC, so the BBC, I've got a concert on, it's my favorite concert, I've got all the speakers and ever, you mustn't disturb me, but Tornish Mufsik's time, you can't be Mufsik, okay. So he says, yeah, well, I'll just sit back. So Toscanini is sitting there, and this beautiful piece that obviously the journalist who was chosen to do this article was also a mumcha music, yeah? It wasn't stammer fellow. So he sees Toscanini, and the journalist is really enjoying a beautiful piece, mum. He's cringing all the way through this concert. I don't know what's going on. So, okay, but Tornish Mufsik time. No Hefsik. So he didn't say a word. Waited till after. Reb Toscanini, Schlieter. Why were you cringing? mean, why was that cringing? The 14th violin was missing.
How do you know the 14th
violin? What do you mean? The whole concert was ruined because the 14th violin was missing. Ruined.
Phones out the BBC and he says that, excuse me, was the 14th violin missing?
Yes, sir. How do you know?
Toscanini told me.
So, wait a minute. This journalist did not notice the 14th violin. But the master conductor, the brilliant Toscanini, who could recognize a C without a tuning fork, it was brilliant. He recognized the 14th violin, ruined the whole concert.
We are 14th violin. We are very, very, very important to our Kutch Brocher's grand concert.
But appreciating that I'm important obliges me to be appreciative.
Okay, that's the test. Am I going to be appreciative or not?
You know, there was once Toscanini was once giving a concert in New York, and it was going to be a big outdoor concert. But the way the concert works is that a very, very highly special trumpeter stands 50 feet away from the main orchestra, and then Toscanini reaches a crescendo. The baton goes over there, and boom, Harry Glanz just piles away. So Toscanini's bump, 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 and no sound, not a sound. He's having a fight with a policeman. The policeman says, "What are you doing, ruining this whole concert?" He's 50 feet away. So the policeman thought he's coming to ruin this concert. So he was having a fight with him on the grass.
Very, very important.
So some people envisage that being in the limelight, that's important.
No.
Each one of us is important. It may be noticed by people, may not be noticed by people, but each one of us has been given a speciality. We don't have to even know what our speciality is. It'll come clearer and clearer and clearer as we go through life. But we are special.
Rabbi Yitzchak Kuttner once told Rabbi Aaron Kotler a story.
He told him a story. He says, there was in Lithuania, there was a shidduch suggested for Bocha, who was average. But he was a master. He slogged away the Gemara, he worked on it.
So they asked Reb Chaim Voloshin, should they go in for the shidduch? I mean, he's not a clever fellow, he's average. You know, average is a terrible thing to say about somebody. But anyway, so he's average. And
says, he says, wait a minute. Kol ha-loimed Torah me'oini. Somebody who learns Torah because they are poor. Poor doesn't mean necessarily financially poor. Poor means in brain. They're not so astute. Livasayf loimdo be'oishet. He learned with a good cop. His brain will connect all the laws of nature, will develop and grow, and he'll become great. Learning Torah when you're poor, IQ wise.
This is how you learn it when you're rich.
So, Rabbi Aaron Kotler told this story over. And Rabbi Aaron Kotler went out and cried.
Help.
What did I say to the Rebbe? What did I do? She says, I will never learn Torah with difficulty. I'll never have the merit of learning Torah with difficulty. Baron Kotler was a lightning flash. He was brilliant, genius. He came out of a meeting with all the heads of Klal Yisrael. And I said, ah, so my mail is for him for Rabbi Kiva's kasha. I've answered Rabbi Kiva's kasha. Lightning kasha. So he would never learn to. And he cried. That wasn't his share of time. That wasn't Rabbi Aaron Kotler's share of time. He cried about. So when you find difficulty or it's an uphill struggle, that is the 14th violin. That is appreciate that that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me. And that will help me to be the concert will be beautiful because of me and I'm special. So we have to appreciate, have the guts to appreciate what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done for us. Okay, give him back, but therefore have confidence. Have confidence that I'm special, I'm unique, I'm something. So there was a bacher who had a terrible accident, and he was on this machine and that machine and the other machine, and the doctors, they're paskani chaim and moves. The doctors were sitting in a group. We decided, should we give him palliative care? You know, just keep him going till he dies. Or shall we invest in him thousands and thousands of pounds to say, you know, we have this machine, and we have that machine, and that, the other machine, and it costs a lot of money. Perhaps we should just give him palliative care. So there's one from Dr. Neymar, and he says, John, tell me, what's your quality of life? He said, 6 out of 10. Why is it only 6 out of 10? Well, I got divorced, and my children won't speak to me, and blah, 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 blah. Okay, Charlie, what's your quality of life? 7 out of 10. I've got this going on. Nobody went past 7. They're all 6 and 7. Says, okay, from doctor, let's go downstairs and ask the boy why his quality of life is. Goes downstairs, asks him, Yankala, what's your quality of life? I call this like 10 plus out of 10. Why is it 10 plus out of 10? You're on this one. Wait a minute. By heart, I daven shachris this morning. I got through the whole of shachris, I can do it by heart. I know lots of blood by heart, and I learned good part this morning. What a fabulous day I've had. What a wonderful, wonderful day. Look how good God is to me. So they all agreed they would give him proper care, proper medical care, save his life. What's up, Shah? But appreciate what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us, and then use your koichas. Each one, each individual can utilize their koichas. And it doesn't matter if you don't know exactly what your speciality is, but know that you're special and you're unique, and the Rabbein Shel Olam appreciates you. Those of you who've got kids, you have to hear this. You have to hear it. But it's also to get to us. It's also relevant to us, I'll tell you. There was a bacha, and he was tops in Yeshiva Ketana. Top. Then he went to Yeshiva Gedayla. He was average. Sorry, use the word again. Average. Compare it. I'm Mr. Average here. I'm used to being the top. I'm Mr. Average here. This is quite a syndrome, I'll tell you, Rabbi. Yeah, as a mashgiach, 45 years, I've had it. This is a syndrome. So, yes, I'm up. So anyway, this bacha, you know, tried and he tried. And then he goes over to, he walks down the road. He plants in the middle of the sector. And he goes down, go for a walk down the road. And he sees an old age home. The one thing about an old age home is, I've just not made it, they're all white beans. There's no competition. It's beautiful. He found this place of Medrash in the old age home, just sat down and learned. He's never been happier. The whole money hadn't been happier. Non-competitive society. Wow. Look, we're all white. We're all the same. There's no gingers and no blacks and no anything. So, felt good. After about 3 or 4 days, a guy, an elderly guy in the old age home comes up to me. In Ivrit, he said,
what you exact, you're welcome, but what are you doing here? I went to the Yeshiva Gdola. I was just a number. This guy, he exploded. Number? Rolled up his sleeve. This is the number Hitler gave me. And you're just as bad as Hitler. It's not you, it's a bad book. Not Hitler. What's he doing? Help. What's this guy? He says, yeah, why did Hitler want to give everybody a number? He says, look, I don't know if I'll destroy and kill all 18 million Yidden. I'm going to give them a number to destroy their feeling of self-importance. You're just a number. You're just a number. And you're doing the same thing. You're just a number. No, you're wrong. I came to Eretz Yisrael after the Shoah, and I was determined. I had 10 children, and to each one of them with their mother's milk, I gave them the clear knowledge. You are a ben yochid to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You are loved and beloved to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as if you're the only child of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Onim atem l'Hashem l'kechem. It's not joint, it's individual. Each one of us is a ben yochid. And I taught my children with their mother's milk, you are a ben yochid, you are an individual, and you are special to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's a special. You know, Bachar, go back to yeshiva. Don't look to the right. Don't look to the left. Don't look in front. Don't look behind. Just learn. Just learn. Be yourself. He went back to yeshiva. He says, I don't know this guy. He says, I don't know the name even of this elderly man. But boy, he changed my life. Boy, he changed my life completely. So appreciating that because Baruch Hu made me and made me special and made me unique. That's the key to success. I just want to add, you know where the Meraglim went wrong? They didn't appreciate it. So I'll tell you what I do. I get up in the morning and of course in my back garden, just my back chanaya. It's marvelous. So I just pop. But I've got just a half a minute, three-fourths of a minute before I get down. Thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for bringing me to Eretz Yisrael. Thank you, thank you, thank you for bringing me to Eretz Yisrael. We should all appreciate all the tremendous tovus HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done for us. And I'd like to just add, our main opportunity for appreciation is the pasuk. The pasuk says that you should leave your parents' house and go to your wife's house. Al ken yazav ish es ovav v'simoy v'dovak v'ishto. What's the first? Sir Masio Solomon. What do you learn at home? You've got to appreciate your parents. You take that middah of appreciation, use it for your wife. So your relationship with your wife is crucial. What's it depend on? Appreciation. Appreciation. And you're developing this middle of appreciation. And even Adam HaRishon, with all his greatness, was loiter. It's not good for him. He can't develop appreciation unless he gets married. And by appreciating his wife, he'll appreciate that. He'll appreciate himself. Appreciate himself. And so Robin Sinclair tells over the story. He says that we managed to scrimp $1,000 to buy an old banger. So we went to an auction, and my wife said to me, says, you know, there's pickpockets here. Why don't you keep your $1,000 in your pocket, in your shoe? Keep it in your shoe, then nobody else. Nah, it's all right, you know. I'll just put some paper towel over the money. It'll be all right. Well, I'm so concentrating on the cars, he got pickpocketed. So he went home with his wife, and he was just waiting for these words. I told you so. Just waiting is what. So anyway, at the end of the journey, he couldn't. So, darling, why didn't you say I told you so? No, darling. I remember that. Well, a couple of years later, his younger sister got engaged and going to Ohio, and he bought himself a new suit that covered his younger sister's wedding. This was going to be the occasion. He bought himself a new suit. Yeah, and he gets in the car and says, I never put the suit in a car. They arrive in Ohio after a long journey.
Our suit ainenu on anibor. No suit. No suit. You know what he did? Nothing. He says, I've got a suit on. Yeah. Did himself a new tie, another tie. That was it. Didn't say a word. So afterwards, he was in the washroom and he listened. He listened. And he could hear his wife talking to him. Your father's a tzaddik. I'm going to give you a bracha. You should be as good as your father. Appreciation is the making of a good marriage. Appreciation is the development of character, which brings us close to our Kaddish Baruch Hu. And perhaps above all, it brings us close to ourselves. It brings us to appreciate ourselves and our individual greatness. Baruch Hu should bless us all in Eretz Yisrael. We should have a lot of our stuff. Wonderful, wonderful country. And we should be very happy to really utilize our time.
Amen. 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 Amen.